Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, 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 and welcome to a special Independence Day edition of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Both our civil year and liturgical year point us on various occasions to our heritage of freedom. I love that quote. I just pulled it from the Fortnight to Freedom on the USCCB website, and that is what it's about, what we want to do. It's a feast day. Celebrate, appreciate, and be reminded of the blessings of our posterity. So thank you for being a part of episode number 103. We're going to do that. Father Nathan is going to help us. He's got a little 4th of July message for us. And on a totally different note, we are going to welcome a special guest. That is our garage sale guru. She's a writer. She's a great friend of the program. Her name is Catherine, and she's going to join us on the show to talk about making big bucks at a garage sale. You know, we talked about this. It's that time of year, and she even wrote up a mini guide to garage sailing that she's going to share with us too. So that's coming up in the show, and a couple life updates and more. So we'll get to all of that. And of course, of all the shows, we cannot miss an opportunity this particular week to pause and pray and thank God for liberty. So if you would join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we call upon you, Jehovah Nisi, God our banner. It is by your grace and under your name that we are free. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of heroes, for the men of faith whom you appointed and enlightened and equipped, and women too, to plant roots in the soil of the United States and to build a land where men can dream and achieve and build and begin again. Lord, we know that we are not perfect, so we ask forgiveness for the wrongs of our nation. And we pray for the protection of life and the dignity of every human soul, Lord, we pray. And also for those serving our nation. Amen.
Padre.
Everybody, this is Father Nathan with a special July the 4th edition of Padre in Your Pocket. The Catholic Church always has maintained that the separation of church and state is not a bad thing. This might be surprising to us, but let's understand this correctly. The separation of church and state, as the church understands it, is to allow for religion to exercise its full freedom. And this gives us reason for us to understand that the freedom that we receive and that we live in the United States, especially with respect to religion, is a right that we must exercise before we lose it. If we want to let it grow and grow in religion and in God, we need to find new ways to find courage inside of ourselves to take religion to the streets, to not be afraid to pray in public, to not be afraid to speak of God in public. At this point, if we become silent or hide the voice of the Holy Spirit from us, not only will the public square be diminished, but our very ability to use it for the elements of religion will be diminished as well. America's great freedom becomes a great responsibility. I think of that line from Spider-Man, where Uncle Pete tells the young Spider-Man before Uncle Pete dies, he says, with great power comes great responsibility. And our responsibility is to allow the freedom for which men died to come to its fruit, to fruition, full fruition in our life by living out an exercise of religion that's robust, honest, and true. In this way, we'll allow the gospel to really bear its influence on society. And I think it starts in small ways. It starts with PTAs, parent teachers associations. It starts with the whys, the sporting events. It starts with the way that we choose to dress and we choose to speak. Let us therefore live intentionally. Catholics in the public square, proud to be Americans, proud to be Catholic. God bless.
Oh, thank you so much, Father Nathan. As I sit and listen to Father Nathan, I'm thinking back, and I don't think I shared this with you, our recent trip to Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina, which isn't really a vacation destination, but we made it a pit stop on the last leg of our vacation because that's where my husband and I started our relationship, our marriage, our family 17 years ago. And that time goes by way too fast. I could not believe as we pulled into the city that here we were coming back with our family 17 years later and just everything, you know, being away from family. 9/11 happened, learning what marriage was, discovering my faith again, all this stuff that happened. So it was really neat to go back. And we did kind of a walk through memory lane with the kid. And I was so hoping that the kids were not going to be bored out of their minds. I was hoping that they would be interested to see the apartment where we first lived and, you know, the hospital where Gabe was born and the drop zone where Jim would skydive out of the airplane, you know, all these different things. And number one, it was rainy, so that was kind of stinky. But the really, really cool thing was we got to go to St. Anne's, and that's the church where Gabriel was baptized. And at that time, in our faith, we were kind of back and forth, wishy-washy, lukewarm. We knew that we loved the Lord, and we knew that we believed, but we didn't really know what we believed and maybe why we believed at that point. So it was really an interesting time. We tried different churches, but would always come back to the Catholic Church. And the Lord had a grip on me enough for me to know and have that conviction still that my baby needed to be baptized. So we went through the class and he was baptized at St. Anne's Church, which has since been remodeled and it's gorgeous. But we went there and it was cool because we were there on a Saturday. So we got to go to Mass and the most amazing thing happened. So we were there and the entire gospel message, homily, and then the Eucharistic hymn was Be Not Afraid. That was the theme. And then the song was Be Not Afraid. And I'm crying and everyone's looking at me like I'm weird, everybody in my family, because that place where my son was baptized and received his first sacrament and then coming back all these years later, like what are the chances of this? On the back of the watch that my son Gabriel wears that he received at the end of his eighth grade year is engraved Be Not Afraid. And that is the quote from John Paul II that we zeroed in on because that is his confirmation name. And that was the quote during his confirmation that we really wanted him to carry forth for the rest of his life. So he has that engraved on his watch. And here we are in the church he was baptized. And that is the message, not just once, not just twice, but three times. And I got it and I'm crying and I look over at him and I'm like, your watch. And he's like, oh, kind of slapping his forehead. Mom, really? But for me, it was a moment that I'll never forget. And I think that's always what's so amazing about taking adventures, big or small. So that was a really fun thing. And also the blessing to go back. You know, we went through Fort Bragg and there was this whole motor pool. It's a place where these soldiers drop their cars off when they're deployed. So it's a safe place where their vehicles are protected. And so we prayed. We prayed over the vehicles and these men and their families. I don't know their stories, but you just see the cars and the stories that go into that. So I hope your summer is going well. I hope in the longer days and the nicer weather that you've been able to experience. I think what Father Nathan shared in the last episode about just breathing, inhale and exhale and appreciating the gift of warm sunshine on my shoulders. I'm not going to break into a John Denver song, even though I really want to. And all these things that summer brings, soaking it up and really blessed by it. And speaking of summer and travelers and making the most of the season, our resident garage sale guru, that's what I'm just going to call her, Catherine. She is a writer. She's a military mom herself. She's a wife. Catherine is on the program joining us today. So a lady who's done it all, when you look at the show today, we're talking about the 4th of July, sea to shining sea, our wonderful country, and also a little bit about the military. And that is our wonderful, today we're calling her garage guru. That's going to be the topic. But our guest just got back from a cross-country trip, a wife, a military mom. So happy to welcome Catherine to the show. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Brooke. It's so good to hear your voice.
Oh, likewise. And this is exciting because you're going to help us save money and make money. And I think that's the love language for a lot of us. And it's fun. So I want to get to the garage stuff because you just did a yard sale. You made out big time and you've got some tips. But I first want to talk about your trip because I was following it on Facebook. But for anyone who doesn't know, can you share where you went and maybe a couple highlights along the way? This is amazing.
Oh, thank you. It really was. We went out to Colorado, to Durango, Colorado, where our daughter lives, and we wanted to meet.
I should say you're from, so Ohio to Colorado.
Yes, I'm sorry, from Ohio to Colorado, that's right. And we wanted to meet our future son-in-law. Our daughter is engaged to a wonderful young man who, both of them happen to be veterans. And of course, our future son-in-law spent a year in Iraq in 2008, and he had sustained some injuries over there and whatever. So he does have some issues, but he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And our daughter was in Afghanistan, like I say, in 2011.
Were you meeting him for the first time?
We were meeting him for the first time.
Okay.
Yes.
And then your son too. So that was also along the journey. He is or was in the military, and you stopped and saw him?
Right. He was a graduate of the Naval Academy in 2002. He spent 10 years in the Marine Corps and ended up, he was a major by the time that he got out. So he served for 10 years plus his 4 at the academy.
So you and your husband, this was kind of like lovebirds on the road. I mean, you had a long drive.
And my husband drove the entire way while I crocheted the world.
See, I tell you what, that this makes the empty nest phase seem like really romantic and exciting. And
oh, it is.
Oh, you
it,
read to
it
him.
Is.
So you read
yes,
and he
I
drove.
Read to him. I read and he drove. Yeah, because one of the places that we stopped was Mark Twain's birthplace, where he grew up. And Hannibal, Missouri. I'm a huge Mark Twain fan. And to tie in with last week, you mentioned you'd like to hear from listeners. So I'll just tell you verbally suggestions for summer reading. So my suggestion for summer reading, I'm a nerd. Okay. I love books. And so I buy books as souvenirs. So what did I buy when we went to Mark Twain's birthplace? But Roughing It, which was one of his books. And the reason why I chose that one is because it was about his trip out west. He was going to be with his brother in Nevada. And so I thought it would be fun to read that to him. And then we also stopped at President Eisenhower's presidential library in Abilene, Kansas. And so there I picked up the book Stories I Tell My Friends by Dwight David Eisenhower. And that was another one that I read along the way. So I kind of went back and forth between the two so he wouldn't get bored. And
boy, that's my kind of reading right there. And interestingly enough, I just a couple hours ago, as I was doing show prep for the show today, was reading, there's a great website called American Rhetoric, and it's the greatest speeches of all time. And one of them was Mark Twain, and it was an Independence Day speech where he went to the UK, went to England, and was talking about this incredible experiment of this constitutional republic that we have and what we owe England. It was really brilliant. But, you know, he's such an interesting character. He said the favorite book he ever wrote was the one about Joan of Arc, and he studied and researched. So I saw a video where you were at someplace. It was a saloon, and there was a man like 100 years old on this old organ.
Yes. Yeah. Caitlin actually bought her dad the most wonderful Father's Day present. 2 tickets to on the train, the Durango to Silverton train, which is it's a very famous thing to do in that area. And so the two of them wanted to do their thing. So my future son-in-law drove me to Silverton so we could hook up with them and then bring them back. And so we stopped in this old saloon.
Wow.
And it was this dear, sweet old man. He was all dressed up to play the part, and he was playing a honky-tonk piano just like they would have in the old days.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. It was like walking in. I mean, that's the dream. I don't know why it's, you know, usually there's Vic Shooter involved and somebody spitting tobacco. But for me, I just love it. And in this case, it was music and this man who probably had a million stories. So what a blessing for you.
Exactly.
Well, and kind of all of that rolled into one is a little bit of what you can find at a garage sale. You can find maybe an old Mark Twain book and maybe an old Six Shooter. Well, it's true. And I know you love history and recently had a garage sale. And so your own history you laid out there. And I want to talk about it because when you told me what you made from your garage sale, I was like, yeah, I need to know more and I need to do it this summer. Because part of it is fear. You know, you think this is, I don't have time. Like there's just, I know I need to simplify and purge, but it's a big job. And then what if you get all that up and out and no one even comes? So you are going to give us the girl's guide to garage sailing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I think I'm just going to come out and say it though. You made like $850, right? At your garage sale. That's amazing.
I did. And you know, if you do it right, you can maximize your profit.
Let's start there because I know this wasn't just a whim. You wanted to know how to maximize your profit. So you started months in advance, at least weeks, right? Where that was kind of on your radar. How long do you need to plan for a garage sale?
You could probably pull together something within a couple of weeks, but I kind of plan it a year in advance. I start thinking, I think next summer is going to be the year. And I tend to have a garage sale about every 3 years.
So you can feel it brewing.
Yes, I do. I feel it brewing. That's a really good way to put it. And so I start setting things aside in the basement. You know, I start, I save boxes. I save bags because you need to have enough bags. Something else along that line too, a good tip is to try to price things as you go. Even if you start a year in advance, customers don't like coming to a garage sale and things aren't marked.
Right. So everything needs a sticker or
one
a price.
Thing to do. Exactly. So yeah. Or some kind of a tie tag if it's clothing. Have it up on hangers. People like and make sure you press it, you launder it.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to put dirty clothes on a hanger. So if they're wrinkled even, you know, if they're, I know people are going to go, I'm not stressed.
I think that's like everything. It's presentation, whether you're selling a house or you're on a sales pitch. So yeah, that visual, just making it look nice.
Exactly. If you need some inspiration, I suggest that there's a little book by Marie Kondo called The Magical Art of Tidying. And it'll take you about 2 hours to read the book, but it will definitely inspire you to eliminate excess.
Okay.
And let your friends and family know ahead of time because, you know, they may jump on the bandwagon and really the more the merrier. You know, you can host it at your house, but if you've got other people involved and other people helping,
it really
is a good thing to do. And then, you know, you want to advertise and, you know, the buy, sell, trade Facebook pages are actually a free way to advertise.
Okay. I know there are apps too, because our neighbor is really into garage sailing and I don't even remember what the app is anymore. She said, and it automatically tells you what garage sales are in your, and people, you know, this is like a big hobby for some people. You get that right when it opens.
Yeah, including me. So I picked up things at garage sales. Like I got a hold of a Pandora bracelet for $5 at an estate sale where these people just wanted to get rid of stuff.
Wow.
I am not kidding you. Vera Bradley and Coach purses with the tags on for, $25 or less. I've picked up Ethan Allen furniture, Karastan carpets, you name it. Chico's clothing.
Wow. Yeah. And like you said, with the tag still on, which is, you can't beat that. It's funny because I always love Antique Roadshow and I just want to be the one that finds that like Chinese vase from, you know, the whatever dynasty. And so, I mean, every now and then too, it's, that is the thrill of it is you don't know. You just said really nice carpet furniture. I guess it's just luck, right?
Well, my sister-in-law is the one that really got. She went to a garage sale and she picked up a painting by an artist that she knew because she was an art history major. Mm. She knew And the person selling the painting did not have a clue. And my sister-in-law ended up donating it to the Cleveland Art Museum, but it was, I mean, wow.
You are kidding
me. You know, a lot of the times people don't know what they have.
Yeah.
Now, here's something else I wanted to say. Sometimes people do know what they have. And if you're going to host a garage sale, don't go on eBay and find the item and say, this sold for $200 on eBay. I should be able to get at least $200. That really is not the attitude to have, because if you're going to have a garage sale, you're going to have to, you're not going to sell things at the same prices as eBay.
Yeah.
eBay has its world, is its own world. Garage sailing is different. One thing I recommend is that you save packaging. Like, you know, a lot of people sell quilts or comforters or whatever that you buy at Macy's or Dillard's. So I suggest that, you know how they come in those clear plastic bags that have zippers around?
Yep, those good heavy-duty. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And you can use those for storage meanwhile. But when you get tired of the item, then you can put it in the bag. And boy, that'll really help for that. It should go for $25. I've sold my L.L. Bean quilts and comforters and things like that for $25 easy.
Oh, good.
Bicycles, you know, bicycles, $25 to $35. Generally, they won't go for more than that.
See,
unless it's a racer bike.
Okay. Or there's the sentimental things as you're talking of, you know, I'm thinking of all the inventory I have. And there's a listener that, because one of my dreams was to learn how to ride a unicycle. And so I would talk about it every now and then. I don't know what is wrong with me, but I thought, you know what?
No.
It just seems so liberating to be able to do that. And then I got into it and I discovered that there's like these mountain bike unicycles. People ride unicycles like on the side of mountains and stuff. It's crazy. And anyway, I'll never do that. But there was a listener who, and then long story short, as I rabbit trail here, there's a guy in Cleveland and they went to a Catholic school. I don't remember the name of the school. And I think it was the priest that knew how to ride a unicycle. So they had like this competitive unicycle team in the whole school.
St. Helens.
You know this.
St. Helens in Newberry. Yes.
Yes. That sounds from yes. So how did you know?
My husband did a story on it a number of years ago when he worked for a newspaper about 40-some years ago.
Isn't that something? Well, yeah, so I heard from all these people, and they have this great nostalgia about, you know, their unicycle days. So one of the listeners gave me her unicycle. This is really special.
Oh.
Now, it's got some rust on it, and it's had a few great decades, but I know that I'm probably not going to be able in one piece to learn how to do a unicycle. And so, you know, that might be something that should go in the garage sale. So what is the, but yet I don't want to part with it. I feel like, boy, it's sentimental. Do you have a filter yourself? Because I know your history is your mom, there was some hoarding there, and I know it's something you've worked through a lot. So what's the mental scissors that you take and say, I'm going to cut this, or I really need to hold on to this? What's healthy?
Understanding that if it's not something that you've used in the last year, it doesn't belong to you.
Okay. So that's some tough words with the unicycle.
That can be painful. That can be painful. I know. You know, maybe there's someone else who God intends it for.
Yeah.
You know, possibly. And I can't say that for sure. I can't say that.
Maybe you're supposed to come to the garage and get the unicycle.
With those sentimental items, sometimes we want to price them a little higher. Sometimes we want to price them a lot higher because we're not sure if we really, truly want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But then as you get to know some of your, you know, you'll get to know some of your customers. And I have repeat customers. They love coming to my sales. And then I have new customers. Like, I had 6 Taiwanese square dancers at my last sale.
What?
6. Yes. I didn't even know that they didn't speak English. These people poured out of a little Mercedes car. They had a driver, an American driver. Well, she was Taiwanese American driver who spoke English and lives in my community. And they get out. They are all exactly the same height.
What is going on? I feel
they
like...
No English. They were here for a square dance convention in Cincinnati.
Oh,
they were staying for a month.
I did not know square dancing was so big in Taiwan. So they came all the way for...
All the way from Taiwan.
Wow.
And the funny thing is that the gentlemen, they all had cameras. They had Nikons around their necks. And they were shooting pictures.
And of your garage sale?
At my garage sale. And I got a little paranoid. And I had a couple of friends that were there with me, some couple of my neighbors, you know, but they were so sweet. And, you know, I just imagine them taking pictures of the Great American Garage Sale.
That is really funny.
So that they could go back and
tell
all of their friends.
Well, how big is your garage sale? Do you have some, like, double-decker? How big is it? you're pulling in people from all over.
It fills my whole driveway. I have a double drive and a double-width driveway in front of our two-car garage. And it just goes all the way to the street.
Okay. So this is serious.
I have tables. Yeah. It's serious. I have a lot of, it's mostly my stuff, but then my neighbors, I had three neighbors involved in the sale.
Okay.
And so they each brought some of their tables. So, you know, it was a neighborhood and effort. So.
Yeah, that's what's nice. That's so common when it's the whole neighborhood, and it makes it for anybody. It's like, okay, I'll drive across town for that, because the last thing you want is a lame garage sale. That's what I'm like, do I have enough? You know, we're kind of off the beaten path out of the way anyway. So I can see what you're saying. Every 3 years, and you just make sure in your mind that you're kind of taking inventory of what you'd put out there, right?
Right, exactly. But I do want you to know, it's one of the big things that I wanted to say. Yeah, there are a lot of work. But I so enjoy the process. I enjoy the process of letting go. I enjoy the process of seeing the smiles on the faces of someone who may have found a treasure that I no longer need, but that was something that they were really looking for, found the perfect item to finish the craft that they're working on, maybe the perfect color of yarn or whatever it may be. it's almost like there's a spiritual connection there too. And then I usually make a new friend or two. I met a neighbor that I never knew her. And we are now Facebook friends and, you know, chat every now and then. It's a way of building community as well.
Yeah. I think it's nice because in a time where we are so busy and we're just in our own little bubble, it is really nice because it does cause you to pause and to, like you said, purge, pause, purge, and praise, you know, be able to get out there.
Chapter in a book. That's right.
You have a couple of tips, too. I'm just going to get through these quickly. Make sure that you're not alone. Have somebody there just for safety purposes.
Oh, yeah.
And you also have, wear a fanny pack. So you've got your change, your cash, all of that right there. So I'm picturing you with Taiwanese square dancers and your fanny pack and me coming down the road with a unicycle. It's like this big circus.
I know. I'm going to have dreams tonight.
But that's a really good tip. And I'll tell you what, fanny packs are in and they're practical because, you know, as a runner, you know, they make them bigger now to get the cell phones in there, whatever else. So
all
of that is great. I think that we have walked away richer in more ways than one. So those tips, thank you so much. Is there any final thoughts? I think just the one in closing idea that I'd like you to maybe share is just the idea of the spiritual aspect of letting go. I know that's something you've written about, and I'm dealing with that now. You know, I've got all of these baby clothes. If you've followed my story for a long time, you know that we adopted and we had
hard,
you know, secondary infertility. So I don't think that we'll have any more children. I mean, we're open to life. It's God's will. I don't want to get rid of the stuff. And there's a lot of baby stuff. And so I'm just wondering, and we haven't used it in a year or more, you know, going by your rule. So
I know.
How do you get over that hump?
Okay. So with things like baby clothes, these mementos, you know, these are the things, and there's a chapter on that in Marie Kondo's book. In fact, she always says, go through the mementos last. Those are going to be the most difficult. And I had a hard time with baby clothes too, Brooke. And this was when my kids were already in their, you know, past their teen years. So what I did was I picked the ones that were my personal favorite, and I saved about a half dozen of those outfits. And also I thought, you know, I could always put them in a quilt. You know, they have these adorable clothesline quilts.
Okay.
So
yeah, I love that.
And one other thing that you can do with mementos, in some cases, this is applicable. Take a picture.
Yeah.
So like my cake topper from my wedding. Oh my gosh. That thing was in such bad shape. It was still, I can't believe I saved it. I think it still had frost on it. So I took a picture of it. And threw it in the trash. That wasn't even going to go in the garage sale.
But was there any part of you that thought, well, what if my daughter wants this? Or did you just know, like, this is not going to be used again? I don't need it.
Absolutely.
Find a way to make peace with it and then let it go like a balloon.
You know what? I like thinking about it as like a balloon and just letting it go. And, you know, it was actually an article by, some of your readers may know, Regina Britt. She's a Pulitzer Prize winning columnist for The Plain Dealer. Mm-hmm. And she wrote an article at Lent about things to give up. And that article really spoke to me. Now, if you just Google Regina Britt Lent, I think you'll find that article pretty easily.
Okay.
And it was such an inspiration to me. And my rule about, if you haven't touched it in a year, let it go. It doesn't belong to you. That really spoke to me. And let go of one thing a day during the 40 days of Lent, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
Stuff.
Always interesting in whatever we do, it's not just the one-dimensional physical aspect. There is a spiritual aspect, and in, you know, kind
always.
Of taking it to the metaphysical level. And that's what the show is about, is looking beyond the surface to what's deeper, what's there below, and trying to bring that to life. And I think you did that. I mean, we talked about garage sales, but in there is God as well. And we can meet him even in dusty boxes. So I appreciate that reminder.
Yeah. I think our homes can be a reflection of what's going on the inside.
Yep.
And, you know, take a look around. What can you let go? It's okay to have mementos. It's okay to have treasures. But when those become an idol, like you say, or when those start to fill up a room, then perhaps it's time to take a look at it.
I love it. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your humor and your wisdom. And as always, you are a gem and a jewel. Thank you so much for joining us.
As are you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Brooke.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
It's Brooke's House. Ow. It's Brooke's House.
Well, as we wrap up the program, I know number one on my list, I am doing a garage sale, and I would love to hear from you. What have you found anything amazing at garage sales? Is this something that you're really plugged into? Do garage sales scare you? Let me know your thoughts. You can leave me a Voxer, of course, and also feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's a quick way that you can send an email that way. Just a couple of takeaways before we wrap up the program. A big happy birthday to my sweet daughter, Carolina Elizabeth. She turned 7, and it was an awesome day. And I also want to give you some really cool news about Kisses from Carolina. We officially met our goal. We raised $1,500 to help orphans, to unite a family. So the way it's going to work is all of those funds will go to a family who's adopting from St. Mary International Adoption Agency, which is where we were united with our daughter. And so they are allowing us to be a part of the selection process. So please pray for us on that, because it's really just the Holy Spirit. Lord, you take these funds. And what's so amazing, this money wasn't raised by me. It was all of you, everyone who came alongside and wanted to give a voice to Carolina and to orphans and to families who are just hoping to be united through the miracle of adoption. And it happened. We met the goal. So I don't know if you can hear my smile. Thank you to every single donor. That's what's been amazing. We've had people that I don't even know, people that I never expected coming out of the woodwork. And that's what's so exciting about how, again, the Holy Spirit works. It's just beyond anything that we could plan. So I will let you know, but I wanted to share that with you. I just wanted to thank you, because I know so many of you were praying as well. And for her birthday, I can't imagine a better gift. So that's pretty awesome. And with that, it's short and sweet. Thank you to our guest, Catherine, for giving us garage sale inspiration. Thank you to Father Nathan Cromley for giving us Independence Day inspiration. And thank you for being a part of the show. These programs over the summer have been a little bit short and sweet and to the point, because it's tough. I've been doing some voice work. I've got a couple events coming up, so I hope that you'll stay tuned. BloggyCon is one. If you follow me on Facebook and also Instagram, that you may have seen. Listen, if you in any any way are engaged in social media. It's called BloggyCon, but it really transcends that. It's so much more than that. It encompasses all the emerging technology, all the social media platforms, and how we can use our voice to network, to grow, to make money, which I do not do very well, but also to lend a voice to our story. And that is what I'm going to be sharing. So at BloggyCon, I'll be the opening keynote talking about the power of one voice. And then it's this entire weekend. The weekend takes place in September, the 16th through the 18th at Cedar Point, which is amazing. It's right on Lake Erie. And so there's a hotel right there. And all weekend, there are workshops, and it's everything from if maybe you want to get more involved in YouTube to how do you monetize these platforms? How do these people make all this money, these six-figure vloggers that are doing videos about like Nerf guns? How does that happen? I personally would still like to know because I have not unlocked that secret. But that's what this BloggyCon is all about. Plus, you meet some pretty cool people too. I've met a gaggle of great friends the first year that I went. Although when I went, I left thinking I'm never blogging again because I just felt so over my head. I have blogged for years. I think it's been 13 years being in radio. That was kind of part of my job. I had to kind of share. It ended up being a pregnancy journal. And then I just began to continue blogging. But I never knew that you could monetize it for years and years. And with that medium, it's an art and it's a science. And so that's what's so neat about BloggyCon is it kind of combines both. So I will put the information on the show notes. But things have been busy, plus the kids, 24/7 kids. So I just thank you for your patience in these quick episodes. And I'm guessing maybe that time is short on your end too. So thank you for being there, hanging in. And once we get back into September, the episodes will be longer. But if there's anything that you want to hear, drop me a line. Let me know. Is there a topic that you want to cover? If you want to get involved in our Bible study, there is still time to do that. Look at the show notes. The last two episodes also, you can hear more about it. Just so much going on, kind of hopping on different sides. But we are kicking off this Bible study. Would still love to have you be a part of it. There are some spots left, and it's free to join and to be a part of. It's just a matter of ordering the materials. So you can find out that information as well on our show notes. God bless you, friends. And a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. Thank you to Mark, as always, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Thank you to every single one of our Podbean patrons. It's because of you, the program's here. You are in our daily prayers. And if you would like to become a Podbean patron, you can get more information on the show notes about that as well. Happy Independence Day. May God bless you and keep you. Until next time, friends. Peace and love.